Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bird Show.
Chris and I come bearing international gifts for you.
Oh, bring it.
Our podcast numbers from around the world are astounding. Astounding today. In Egypt, on Friday.
Yeah?
We were the 239th most listened to podcast.
In Egypt, huh?
And that's just comedy. Yeah, 239. All right. Some room for improvement there.
Yeah. We got to work on our Egypt material, I guess.
In Finland, we're doing much better.
Oh.
238.
By one, huh?
At least we're on the chart.
We climbed.
Yep. Let's see here. Czech Republic, 170. All right. Mm. Canada, at least for now, is digging us. We are up 38 spots in Canada. Belgium, we climbed a lot, and we're at 93.
Ooh, Belgium.
This week, okay?
I love your chocolates.
Indonesia, thank you, Mo, for doing our work there.
I do what I can.
We're still kicking ass there also.
Yes, sir.
All right, if you want to listen to our podcast, we upload it segment by segment, or you can listen to the whole show if you got a long commute later on today. The Burt Show is on all podcasting platforms. You can't miss us. All right, Katie, so what is the therapy that we are taking a look at and wondering if is it genius or is it really weird?
Yeah, so a group of my friends, we were all talking about therapy, and one of my friends, she mentioned it first. She's like, you know what, guys? I'm thinking of changing my therapist from a female to a male. She's like, I've spent time doing that. Let me see what a guy tells me, right? And we're like, okay, cool. That could be a good thing. I don't know because I don't go to therapy. But, you know.
Yeah, you don't need it. You're good. Yeah.
So then as they were having this discussion about, yeah, you know what? I think I was thinking about changing to a male therapist as well. Another one of my friends was like, you know what, guys? I have a better idea that I want to try to do this year. She wants to have two therapists. She wants to have a male and a female therapist. And then she said she wants to go to both of them, tell them the exact same things, and see what their perspective, both of their perspectives are, and then compare and contrast and combine that.
Very interesting. It's like dueling pianos, except you got dueling therapists. It's very interesting, but I don't know that it's a apples versus oranges type of thing because different therapists have such different philosophies that I don't know if it's a male or female thing, but it would be interesting.
I'm curious, what is she not getting from her female therapist that she wants to seek a male one?
She didn't say that it was a lack. She just wants to know. She's like, if you have different perspectives from multiple people, it would be interesting to know. She's like, when you go to a therapist and you have one person, you're getting a one-sided view, right? But there's multiple therapists. They all have their own ways and methods of doing things. So why not compare with two?
So it's not a sex thing. It's just a perspective thing.
Yes.
The woman therapist that I have changed my life. Absolutely changed my life. I have had a male therapist, I've told you guys this before, fall asleep on me. Literally fell asleep on me. Or he used to just put his head back with his eyes closed and say he was just focusing that way. But I'm pretty sure I saw him going to REM sleep. So I don't know if have you guys experienced any difference?
I've only ever had women as my therapist, and it's just my personal preference. It's the same with my OBGYN. I don't think I'd be going to a woman OBGYN and be like, let's see what a guy thinks about down there.
That's a man's opinion.
Yeah. No.
I've had both. There were differences. I can see how you might be able to learn something a little different from both, just with the way a man and a woman tends to approach things and have the perspective on things. For me personally, I think I did better with the woman for sure.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've only had female therapists, and that's because, you know, I'm typically complaining about like yappy girl issues, and I just feel like a man in his 40s would be silently rolling his eyes anytime I like say, my friends aren't talking to me. And he'd just be like, okay, what else is new?
I have definitely liked my female therapist better. And I don't know if it's a maternal thing. I don't know if it's something that's sort of implied internally in me that I just feel more comfortable and feels more welcoming and maternal in a certain way than a guy would.
Is that, I mean, I know you had issues with both your parents growing up, but is that because of your relationship with your mother that you're seeking maternal guidance?
I don't know. They both sucked. So you could really say that about that guy also.
I wonder if their approach is like
kind of like you would have in real life. We talked about this a little this past weekend. Women go to their boyfriends and they're like, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to hear my emotions and be like, yeah, she sucks, right? Which is what sometimes I think you get from a female therapist, but I wonder if male therapists are more like, here's a logical outline of what you need to do next steps.
Maybe.
I know for me, it was about my upbringing. That's what they said, because I was raised by women. My mom, my grandmother, my aunts. I really didn't have much of a relationship with like grandfathers or my father at a point in time. So I think I'm just naturally more comfortable speaking and being vulnerable to a woman.
It's an interesting philosophy, though, and I would really like to hear how it goes. Like, what, how the opinions and how the dialogue is different from one to the other, and the advice.
Because she is going to test it out, so we'll see.
The Burt Show.
Man, it's just different now than it used to be, and I have to accept this, man. I'm going to show my age here. But back in the day, Abby, when you applied through the mail to a college, you would wait eagerly in order to get a piece of mail back, snail mail back. You'd have to go to the mailbox each and every day anticipating that letter was going to be in there. Either you were accepted to the college that you wanted or...
Unfortunately.
Yeah, rejected. Man, I remember going to the mailbox every day, walking out there, that pit of anxiety in your stomach, and you open it up, it's not there. Open it up, then it's there. And then bringing it into the house and then setting it on the table and just looking at it because you don't want to do, you don't want to know. You want to know, but you can't know, right? And then you slightly open it just a little bit. I can't do it. I can't do it. Am I going to be going to USC or not? And then you open it up and you get your results and you immediately run to your parents, right? Or you do it with your parents. That's a crazy idea, right? Now, that was back in the day. Now, you went to school after I did. Was it the same way or was it already electronic?
It was not electronic. I got a letter in the mail and you got the mail and I didn't get it. I think it was already sitting in the pile of mail and my parents had gotten it and there it was, the University of Kentucky and the school emblem. And then you open it and you're like,
I'm going to be a Wildcat!
Yeah. It was glorious.
You with Old Dominion?
Yeah, it was the same thing for me. Yep, same thing. I ended up applying to two schools. One was ODU in Norfolk, which they said yes. And the other was University of North Carolina. And I opened that one first. And I'll never forget, my mom was right there waiting with me. And North Carolina pretty much said, stop playing with us, bro. we appreciate it. But come on, man.
Why'd you waste our time, man?
So I opened up the ODU one. It was like, well, Mom, I'm going to ODU.
I should have had that experience with my son last night. I'll get into it in just one second. Abby, you and Florida.
Yeah, so I actually got several physical letters from different schools. And there were some that were more obvious than others. Like, my biggest backup was, University of South Carolina, and it came in this big like manila folder size envelope, so you knew it said like, you're gonna be a Gamecock. I'm like, no, I'm not, because I'm gonna be a Gator, because then you get the electronic UF one a little bit later, and that's very nerve-wracking because like you got to click on it and your hand is shaking, and so you got to click the button that says open. And I remember for like the first 30 seconds I couldn't physically get it open because I was so nervous, and then the second it said you're gonna be a Gator, I lost my mind.
The first one that I applied to, because I think everybody does this, where you have like a green light, a yellow light, and a red light school.
Oh, I only applied to one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
One and done. Cassie, I should ask you about Emory also.
Yeah, so I did early decision to Emory, which a little bit regret because I withdrew my applications from the other schools, so I never knew if I got into them or not. But Emory, so they messed up. They had alumni write emails, and the way Emory works, it's weird, but there's also Oxford at Emory, which is like a feeder school into Emory, and they're like, congrats, you got into Oxford. And I'm like, I didn't apply to Oxford. I don't want to go to Oxford. What am I going to do? And then I got the actual acceptance letter a few days later. I was saying I got into Emory.
I grew up in San Diego, so I applied to Pepperdine. And the only reason why I did that is because that campus overlooks the Pacific Ocean in Malibu. And the surf there is amazing. I got into that school and was prepared to go. And then I did a little research on it and found out it's a dry campus. And that was over.
You didn't research or tour or anything before? I did it for every school, including my backup school that I applied to.
Did you?
Yeah.
That one I just wanted in because it was on the ocean, man. But I got into my others also. I got into San Diego State. I got into Miami. And I remember the same process over and over and over again. And I kind of wanted, this is kind of the fun to do it with your kid also. Like, he's been looking at schools and he hasn't really been updating me much. So my 17-year-old walks in last night and we're watching a movie together. I told you guys that this is what he and I kind of do, rather than have a dinner where we just get all we get caught up in like one 45 minute or hour session. He's got ADHD. I got ADHD. That ain't going to go. So we're watching a movie and then he'll start talking to me about something and I'll pause it. And then we'll have a brief conversation. Then we get back to the movie and then I'll pause it and tell him what's going on in my life. So I pause it and I'm like, hey man, I haven't heard anything about your colleges. You've applied. You've already told me where you've applied. What's going on? He's like, oh yeah, I got an Ole Miss.
What?
Whoa, what?
And I'm like, what do you mean you got an Ole Miss? He's like, yeah, I got an Ole Miss.
Wasn't that his top one?
At some point it was.
Okay.
And I'm not exactly sure where to tweet, but now he has got his heart, soul, and mind. He wants to be a dog.
Really?
He wants to go to UGA. But I took him last year to an Ole Miss game. It was the very first campus that we toured. And if you know anything about Ole Miss, it's a factory of hotties. All right. The students are hot. The parents are hot. The grandparents are hot. Everybody there is hot. Everybody. So that was the first campus that we went to, and it really fit him very well. It's kind of a small campus. It just fit him. So he was so excited about it. And then he just got his heart set on going to UGA. And I think because, no offense to Ole Miss, it was so easy to get into. They have a 98% acceptance rate. 98%. That I think because it was so easy to get into, I think he lost kind of the interest in it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
So that's kind of his backup school now. And I hate to offend Ole Miss alumni because it's a really fun, fun school. And I love everybody I've ever met. But he just wasn't into it. So when I asked him about it last night, it was almost like a...
anticlimactic.
Yeah. And that's why he didn't share it with me.
But that's your baby boy. And that's the first college he's been accepted for.
And I'm like, this is how we're going to do this? Watching a 90s Boiler Room from the 90s? And this is how this is all going to go down? I wanted to like celebrate it more, but he's not into it.
When did he find out? How long has he kept it?
Could have been a couple of days ago.
Okay.
And it sparked my memory because I've been getting emails from Ole Miss now going, hey, welcome to the Ole Miss family. And I'm like, I don't think I'm part of the Ole Miss family. But I guess I am. So he's got a game plan now. And his game plan to get into Georgia, because quite frankly, just it's so brutal to get into Georgia now, man, that he doesn't have the grades to get in there just yet. So his game plan, at least in his heart, and he's going this weekend, is to go to UNG for a year. Live down by Oconee, which is really close to Athens, with a couple of friends, get his grades up a little bit, and then transfer into Georgia. That's where his mind's at right now. And you know, when you get your mindset on something like that, and that is your gold standard, nothing else matters for him now also. So I think that's what he's going with. But I did miss the, like, I kind of expected we would be around the computer at least together, and we'd share the anxiety in it, and he would click on it, and we'd be like, okay, you're going to Ole Miss. And he'd go, I don't want to go to Ole Miss. So maybe we'll do that with the second one. All right. I'm pretty sure I'll get into UNG also. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Let them debate on NPR the pluses and minuses of serious stuffs like tariffs. That's what you come here for. This is not the place for that.
This ain't tariff country here.
Nah. We're into the dumb debates. Let's go, Kath.
All right. So this is a really dumb argument I got into with a friend. It was actually one of Chad's friends, who's also my friend. But we were out at a bar together. I went to use the restroom like you do. And something like half the stalls were out of toilet paper. So what do? You find a stall with toilet paper and you use that one. And then did my biz, came back to the table, drank some beer. And I was like, oh, my God, the bathrooms here are so clean because I am in my late 30s. And this is what you talk about at bars. I'm like, they're so clean because they really were. And I'm like, the food is great here. This is awesome. But half the stalls were out of toilet paper. I was telling my friend's wife, like, hey, heads up when you go. And so Chad's friend goes, well, did you tell the bartender? And I was like, no. Why would I tell the bartender? Now, keep in mind, this is not a restaurant. So there's not like a front host or hostess. We don't have a waiter. It's literally like a bar and you would go to the bar and order your drink and sit down. There's no table service, but there are tables. And I'm like, no, I didn't tell the bartender because they're bartending. They are working. And he's like, I cannot believe you walked out that bathroom and didn't say anything. And I was like, it's not my job to police the toilet paper in the bar. And there are plenty of stalls with it. There wasn't a long line. This is weird. Why are you getting on my case? I was feeling attacked. He's like, well, just go tell the bartender that the toilet paper's out in the women's bathroom. And at this point, I'm like, I'm not going to go to the bartender and be like, excuse me, the bathroom, some of them don't have toilet paper. No, be an adult and find a stall with toilet paper. And we must have went back and forth amicably, but maybe not, for like at least like...
in what lifetime have you been amicably in an argument?
With people I like, but he was starting to edge towards the not like list. 5 to 7 minutes about whether or not I should have told the bartender that the bathrooms were out of toilet paper.
Yes, you should have.
Why?
Totally on your friend's side. Because you're just making a suggestion. Hey, just want to let you guys know. Because he's not running in there all the time, or the bartender's not running in there. They don't know. They want their bathrooms clean, but they don't know what it's like in there. So you're just saying, hey, just want to let you know the stalls are out of toilet paper? No problem there.
But to me, that's like someone coming and telling me, hey, the printer's out of paper. Okay, that's not my job. Well, I don't know where the paper is.
It's like, not exactly like that. It's not a similar... I don't see what the big deal is. Just going, hey, just want to let you know.
I should add context. It's also
because really what you're doing is you're helping the other customers that are in there.
That's true, but it's a big building. Like, the bar is in a big, like, arcade-style building. So in my head, I'm like, there's probably a custodial or management staff that handles that. And so I'm like, telling the bartender isn't going to get it fixed. I'm pulling them from their job.
If there was no stall with toilet paper, then I would have said something.
Yeah.
But if there was one or more stalls that did have toilet paper, you just had to find that one, I'm not saying anything.
I agree. I would have only said something if it was completely out of toilet paper. But if I would have went and looked and it was toilet paper in the next one, I wouldn't have thought twice about it.
In reality, I'm probably not saying anything. But anytime I'm nervous to ask somebody a question and I don't know if they're the right person, I just go, hey, who do I talk to about there not being toilet paper in the bathroom? And then if they're going to be annoyed by that, they're going to feel respected, like, oh, they're not expecting me to know. So I can tell them who to talk to.
Yeah, I'm not going to a second person for it. I'm not going to the bartender to tell me who I should talk to. I'm telling the bartender then. It's the bartender's responsibility to tell who they're supposed to tell.
Well, it depends on how dire the issue is. You know, are you dripping?
That could change things, yeah.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
It was a big night at the Grammys last night. The 2025 Grammys brought in some really incredible moments. We had some awesome performances. We got to see Beyonce win Album of the Year for the first time ever.
Dude, Sabrina Carpenter's performance, I thought, was incredible.
So good.
She's so funny.
I really love what she has leaned into, because I've always kind of felt like her pop music was underrated, but her leaning into this sort of sensual, snarky, funny side of her is so likable.
Very likable. And then, did you see that flip Benson Boone did off the piano during his performance?
Honestly, Harry Styles needs to be worried, because he is coming for his neck.
That jumpsuit, this man had the most incredible deep V sparkly jumpsuit. He gets up on stage, and as he's singing, he walks up on this grand piano and literally does like a side flip off of it, lands, hit his note. It was incredible.
I didn't read the article, but did he have some kind of... costume malfunction last night?
Well, he was grabbing his junk at the end to rearrange it.
Yeah, might have gotten a little, really? You know, when you flip things around, they might get a little...
Something may have, like not of the outfit, but in the undergarments, that flip, I could see something like slipping out of an undergarment.
Well, that's a nice problem.
His jumpsuit, his jumpsuit might have been made by the same people who made Dave Chappelle's pants for SNL.
A little tighter
than they need to be. Dochi had an incredible performance. There was this moment where her entire crew was wearing like office suits, and then they rip hers off and she's wearing like this and she's like all fit. She's got this like bikini thing on. Really, really cool performance. And speaking of Dochi, she made history at the Grammys last night when she became the third woman ever to win in the best rap album category. Lauryn Hill made history being the first, then Cardi B, and then Dochi with the third. And she also released a song called Nosebleeds to throw a little shade to the haters and also celebrate her Grammy win.
Everybody wanted to know what Dochi would do if she didn't win. I guess we'll never get up the swamp to the motherfucking stage. Cut my mic off cause I'm about to misbehave. Will she ever lose, man? I guess we'll never know. Will she lose her cool? I guess we'll never. I hopped up the swamp, gave the props.
So good. It's a sassy song for sure. And I think it was, for a lack of a better term, a mic drop moment for sure. Lady Gaga also dropped some new music as well with a song called Abracadabra.
She just put a spell on everybody.
That's possible.
A spell on us to love her music.
Can I tell you something weird that's happened to me this morning? I have crossed over, and I haven't done this with many, many celebrities, but it happened to me this morning with Kanye West. I will never listen to his music ever again.
Why? Oh, after the Grammy stunt?
Yeah, I mean, he's been so dislikable for so long that I haven't really been able to tell him take him seriously, but based on his like really mean tweets over the weekend, and then last night he shows up and his wife is on the red carpet completely and totally naked, totally and completely exposing her. And the way that she just has this look in her eyes that just, I don't know if this is an act or not, but it feels so dangerous to me. It looks truly abusive.
Yeah.
What's going on in that relationship? And I will not listen to his music anymore.
It's actually like a lack of look. It's so vacant. Mm-hmm. Like she just appears so, the only word I can use to describe is very vacant. And I was talking to you during a commercial break, and her family has come out and said, like, she's a shell of the person she used to be. Like, if you look at photos and videos, like, she was a happy, smiley, bubbly person. And I know people can evolve and change, but they very much attribute it to him brainwashing her.
I think one of you guys said this morning that maybe this is their kind of art, and they're just seeing it through. And I don't care if that's the case or not. It just seems like it's sending the... I'm thinking too much into it, though. I mean, I've disliked him for a long time, but I loved his early music so much that I could put up with it. But there's been some tweak with me this morning where I'm just like, I dislike him so much, I will never purchase another song from him again.
He's giving people a lot of reasons to feel the way you do. So I get it. Was she in the public spotlight before Kanye?
She was in the entertainment industry and field in some aspect. I can't remember off the top of my head. What happened with the tweets this weekend? I missed that.
He made some really nasty tweets about Kamala Harris, but it wasn't even about political or about her. It's just they were so mean and they were sexual, and he's just a disgusting human being.
It's just really bizarre. And I don't want to say it's coming out of nowhere, but it is getting to the point where it's like, how long can he be a troll before like people just stop paying attention? Because I think that's the reason why he keeps doing it, is because he gets all these attention and headline from it. That it's just embarrassing at this point, and he's got to tone it down. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
I got to ask this question spontaneously here real quick, because I found myself stuck in a moment right now. Is there a celebrity that you absolutely loathe? I mean, like deep inside you really, really hate? 1-855 Burt Show, because I am really feeling it for Kanye today, and I can't get over it. The whole thing on the red carpet, and then the fact that now on Twitter he's messing with Taylor Swift for no good reason. He doesn't follow anybody except Taylor Swift, and they have this history where it's obviously a big old FU. And just like today, all of a sudden, I've disliked him for a while, but listened to his music. But today I find myself like, it's somebody that I actually know and I hate.
Yes.
Who?
Yes.
Okay.
Tell us what it rhymes with.
I know what she's going to say. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Yes, same. Secrets are no fun unless you tell everyone. Yeah.
If she won't tell you, there's a good reason why. Uh-huh. It would alienate a lot of the audience.
Oh. Is it Taylor Swift?
No.
No.
Yes, Abby, we hate Taylor Swift. I was like, that's going to put you on an FBI watch list.
Is there a celebrity, a performing arts celebrity that you loathe so much?
Loathe.
I just really am finding myself stuck in a moment today, man.
I don't think I hate anyone.
I feel so let down.
Marilyn Manson.
Really?
Because of what he did to Evan Rachel Wood.
Which was that?
Allegedly, or whatever. That? deep abuse to multiple women. And I always like found him off-putting, but then I was like, stop being such a normcore, Cassie. Like, let people live. And for a while I was like, okay, I can dig it. Like his cover of Sweet Dreams. And then just every time it comes on, I'm just like, you're just here for the shock value.
Yeah.
And to make people do that. Also Demi Lovato.
Oh, hang on for a second on that one. Hold on. Caitlin, good morning. This is so random. Who do you what celebrity do you loathe? I have her picked up.
Caitlin.
Caitlin, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, okay.
I hate Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage. For what reason do you loathe Nicolas Cage?
I don't really know why. I think it's his face.
Okay, fair enough. You don't really need a reason.
No.
Just loathe your face.
That'll do.
Just your face.
Why Demi Lovato?
You know, it didn't start that way. But it's just, there is no quantifiable thing. It's not like she's done anything, so it's completely unfounded. There's a smugness about her. Mm. I just don't like how I felt the media has reported how she's treated some friends. I feel like she is inauthentic, which is unfair of me to say because I don't know her at all. So she may be totally authentic. It's just stuff she's saying feels like virtue signaling almost, and it doesn't feel authentic. And I just don't get good vibes from her. I get bad vibes. That's what it is. She seems to have bad vibes and a bad aura, and I don't like it. That is said, I do not know her. I've only read about her in the media, so don't take that with any, take it with a grain of salt.
I forgot one. Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle?
The actor, yeah.
How?
He disrespected my grandmother.
You've told this story, I believe. Tell it again.
I forget exactly what he said, but I know they met, and I think she went over to, like, pay him a compliment, say something, I appreciate your work, and she said he just couldn't be more rude. It was, like, real get out my face, please type of response.
To an older woman?
Yeah, be careful, Chris.
I said older woman.
You're just on the same list now.
But, like, to an elderly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she said he was super rude, like, to the point where my grandmother doesn't let anything bother her. So for her to say that it bothered her, it's up with Don Cheadle if I ever see him.
See, I'm having a trouble because loathe is such an intense word. Like, hate and loathe.
There are people that drive around me every day that I loathe. Like, I can go from, like, oh, man, what a rude driver, like, I absolutely hate that driver.
So that's why, like, there's people I dislike, but to, like, say, like, Adam Levine is always going to be a person I dislike, but I can't say, like, I hate or loathe the man. You know what I mean? Like, there has to be some really, like, deep-seated, like...
Yeah. You got to do something to me personally.
Yeah.
I think, for me to loathe you.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anybody that I loathe, but I will say when I was watching the Grammys last night and I was seeing all of these incredible performances that just were so acrobatic and looked like they took so much effort and energy from Dochi to Sabrina Carpenter to Chappell Roan. They're like crawling across the stage and they are belting their hearts out. And then I will say there was a part of me watching Billie Eilish's performance. I was like, put a little effort. I mean, you sound amazing, but she's always wearing the same baggy t-shirt and she sounds great. Her music's amazing.
That's
but
kind
I'm like,
of her thing though.
The thing is boring. And that's just that's my opinion.
It's not a loathing.
It's not a loathing. No. But it does feel a little... It just sounds bad to say low effort because she's so talented, but I'm like, just do literally anything.
You loathing for the clothing.
Loathing for the clothing.
The Bird Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I am guessing that none of us in here have had as difficult and an uncomfortable, a cringeworthy conversation with our parents than our listener had to have with their parents this weekend. What is the most uncomfortable one you guys have ever had to have with your parents?
Oh, my God. I feel like it's the obvious one. Like, the one?
Yeah.
That one was pretty cringy.
The birds and the bees one?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm guessing that moms took that one.
My mom took that one and she cornered me because I remember I will never forget this because I already knew because I was a fast kid. And my mom was looking at like AOL.com and an article about Jamie Lynn Spears popped up. You know what I'm talking about? Like when she was going through her teen phase. Mm-hmm. And she looked at the article and she goes, do you know how this happens, Abby? And literally I took off and locked myself in the bathroom. I was like, I know. They told me at the lunch table.
Bye. Oh, it's the most cringe or the most difficult conversation you ever have to have with your parents?
I feel like trying to think off the top of my head, it was probably when I decided that I wasn't coming home for Thanksgiving anymore. That was rough. Mm-hmm. And then the tears started coming and I saw how much it meant to my mom and I was like, just kidding. And I changed my mind completely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I couldn't do that. So probably that one.
How about yours?
When I dropped out of UK.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah, because we were very well into the semester. And what I had done is just dropped a class here, dropped a class there, dropped a class here, mm-hmm. dropped a class there until I wasn't taking a class.
Yeah.
And I had to come clean that, I was taking the semester off.
I had to have similar conversations with my mom and my dad after therapy and going to them and saying, hey, I realize now how crappy parents you were. Those weren't easy.
That's got to be tough.
Those were tough. But I'd still rather have that one than this one. Hey, mom, dad, I can hear what's going on in the bedroom.
Yeah, so she, our birth show listener hit us up and she is freaking out because she needs to have this conversation but doesn't know how because she lost her job the end of last year. And she, at the age of 20-something, ended up moving back in with her parents. They've been very kind to open their home so she can kind of get back on her feet, save some money. However, the walls are very thin in the house. And her parents, though they've been married for a long time, are still very, very much blissfully in love with each other and like to show each other on that physical level how much they love each other. So she hears them doing it all the time. And she's hit her breaking point.
All right, the update reads, first off, thank you for reading my email and giving me advice and some much-needed laughs. I decided I was just going to talk to my mom and finally address the situation. Daughter to mother seemed way better than daughter to father. I agree. I thought I had a solid plan. Really didn't want to do it at home. So I invited my mom out to lunch, thinking a nice, casual setting would make the conversation easier.
Nothing like a little Panera salad to make this convo go down easier.
Is that a conversation you want to have in public?
No. Absolutely not.
I wouldn't think so.
Hell no.
Nope. We had a good time, chatted about life, my job search, some family updates. Every time I tried to bring it up, my stomach knotted up, and I just couldn't do it. How do you casually slide in, hey, I can hear you and Dad getting freaky at night, into a conversation over chicken salad? We were nearing the end of lunch, and I knew I needed to rip the Band-Aid. I literally opened my mouth to say something about my mom and Dad's intimate sessions, but instead, I blurted out, who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? I panicked. The words just wouldn't come out, and my mom hates sports and was thoroughly confused. So now I'm back to square one. Still traumatized, still losing sleep, and still no closer to addressing it. Do I even bother trying again, or do I just suffer in silence?
What were your suggestions on Friday? You guys had something more petty than this.
I'm not going to say it's petty. I would like to label it as creative. My creative mm-hmm. solution to this problem was that if you can hear your parents, then that means your parents can hear you, right? So one night before they're about to get intimate or whatever, you time it just right and you jump up and down on your bed, make those types of noises so then they can hear you in your room. And then hopefully they have common sense and the light bulb will go off that, oh my God, we can hear her. That means she can hear us.
Now, I like the idea, but why does she have to time it to make it right before the parents are about to do it?
Can't you just give them their time?
Right.
Can't it be in the middle of the day?
Yeah, it could be at any time.
The Bird Show.
How about just saying something to the effect of, even over dinner or whatever, man, I can hear everything in your room. I mean, the walls are so thin. Can you guys hear what's going on in my room?
That's what I would do.
Uh-huh.
Just like that.
I actually had to do this to an apartment neighbor a couple of years ago. So I lived in an apartment where the bedrooms were up against each other. So we shared a wall. And every night, like clockwork, at 12:45, I'd hear, oh, you shared headboards. Okay. And so I had to leave them like a ransom note. Be like, hey guys, love that you guys just moved in. Just wanted to let you know I can hear everything. underline. Just thought I would inform you as to what's going on over here at 1208 apartment.
Did they get it?
Oh, yeah, they got it. And then they moved out the next month. So.
Did they really?
4 months and I was like, my work here is done.
All right, let's talk about the most disrespectful and cringiest thing that happened before the Grammy Awards last night. Oh, my God. I mean, these two will never have a job on the red carpet ever again. Do you want to explain what happened?
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is honestly my worst nightmare, as doing something in front of the entire industry and all these other celebrities that is not only probably going to get you canceled, but it's probably going to end your career. So this all has to do with these AP red carpet reporters who were in the middle of a conversation with an artist named Babyface. And so as they're talking to Babyface, Chappell Roan, who just won Best New Artist, walks behind him. And then one of the interviewers, like, kind of freaks out. She, like, leans down. You can see she's sort of looking at, like, a monitor or something to where she can see that Chappell's walking by. And they very quickly escort Babyface out and Chappell Roan in.
Yeah, I want to play the audio for you here in just 1 second. But those of you that are young and don't really quite understand who Babyface is, he is generally known as the greatest producer of all time. When you think of anybody in the industry, Babyface has had something to do with their success. Whitney Houston, Janet Jackson, Madonna, you name it, Boys to Men.
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey, TLC, Usher. I mean, he has had how many? It's a crazy man. 26 number one R&B hits throughout his career. 13 Grammy Awards. This guy is the Hall of Famer. So if you get him in an interview, that is a very big deal. So they are talking to him, right? And as Abby said, we've all seen these red carpet clusters, right? Where you got all the celebrities that are on the red carpet and their handlers are dragging them to this person and this person, but they're in the middle of a conversation with this Hall of Fame producer. And this is how it goes down.
Yes, I think it's interesting.
Chappell.
You guys want to do that? Go do that.
So let me just say, there are two of them that are talking to Babyface, and one continues the conversation and the interview while the other one is almost leaning out of the shot and yelling at Chappell Roan while she's in mid-conversation with Babyface. And he's so polite about it. He's like, if you guys want to talk to Chappell Roan, go ahead.
Yeah.
It broke my heart to hear Babyface say, just go do that.
Just go do that.
Like, I get it.
Well, at that point, you've been so disrespected. Yes. I don't want to continue my conversation with you anyway.
Yeah, true. I mean, I felt like, damn, am I getting that old that we don't know who Babyface
is?
500 million sales in single songs that he has wrote. And you would do that, and the man has been in the industry for 40 years and kept a baby face the whole time. Put some respect on that man's name.
I mean, a mad amount of respect needs to be put on his name, but unfortunately, we live in a time and era where Babyface isn't going to get the clicks. Chappell Roan is.
Sure.
So in that moment, they're like, this is the person that everybody is talking about. There's no doubting Babyface's legacy. I mean, what the man has accomplished over his career is incredible. But in that moment, they were thinking, this Chappell is going to go more viral over Babyface. However, kudos to Babyface, because now everybody's talking about you today.
Yeah.
Because you went viral.
It's really kind of the producer's job to get Chappell to come on over, not the person that's doing the interviewing. So she got overly excited. And then she makes it even worse. When they come back after break, this is her apology. And maybe you need to see it to really understand how insincere it felt.
First, I wanted to say that I'm really sorry about interrupting Babyface earlier. Chappell Roan had come up and there was a lot of commotion, as there is on these carpets, but I'm a big Babyface fan, and as are we all, and so I just wanted to say that I really apologize. But thank you so much for having me, you guys.
Hey, they're never going to have you again.
Bye. See you never.
If I was there with her, I'd be like, name one Babyface song.
Yeah, right.
And poor Babyface must be at the end of this thing going, is this what my career is now? Like, now people don't even know really who I am. I mean, I had the time, but this is my Hall of Fame resume, and now people don't even know who I am on the red carpet?
Maybe, but I'm pretty sure there's still that part of him that knows how much of a legend he is.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you got to go where you appreciate it.
Yeah, you will never, ever see her on a red carpet ever again.
Nope.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.